So we'll go to Kevin Kurz right now to talk about this story that he wrote. Kev, how are you doing?
Good, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. I really, really enjoyed the piece you wrote. Why did you decide to write this? I know you're a Philly guy. Was this a memory from little Kevin's childhood?
Yeah, that's basically the best way to put it. And then I just was looking it up, and I looked at the roster and of those teams. I'm like, boy, I know a lot of these guys. I mean, or I've talked to a lot of these guys, or they're easily reachable. So, not everybody was. It took some work to get a couple of them, but a lot of them. Chico Rech is with the Devils right now. Mark Howe is a scout that's been around for a long time. Chris Nyland's got a radio show, right? So a lot of these guys were pretty easily reachable.
I found myself laughing a few times reading this piece because when I think a lot of fans right now, like if you're in your 20s or even your early 30s, you'd read that piece and you'd be like, this is ridiculous how this brawl started. It all started because of superstition and how the Montreal Canadiens had this superstition of putting the puck in the Flyers' net at the end of warm-up. So as the series progressed, the Flyers started going, we don't want this. So it ended with in the brawl game. Was that game six? It ended in the brawl game where the Habs, Corson and Claude Lemieux, were hiding essentially and waiting for the Flyers to leave the ice so they could go back onto the ice and shoot the puck into the Flyers' net. What they didn't know is that the Flyers were also hiding and waiting for the Habs to go out there and shoot. And then anyway, as it happened, the brawl started. And so when you're catching up with the people involved in this, and this is an oral history, so you talk to a bunch of guys, did any of them, were they acknowledging like how silly the whole thing was?
I think Dave Poulin was the closest that came to that. And Larry Robinson, it was his tone was so much different than everyone else because, he said, well, it's not really something I look back and remember fondly. But some of the other guys, I think mainly on the Philly side, they were more than happy to talk about it, and they look back on it as something that maybe wasn't their proudest moment, but they certainly don't mind rehashing the details of it and going over what happened. Certainly a guy like Don Knockbauer, who is pretty borderline NHL player, but that was something he vividly remembered every detail, whereas, Larry, who he was fighting, didn't quite remember because, maybe he has some other memories throughout his NHL career that are a little bit more important, I would say.
It must have been fun covering the Flyers or being a Flyers fan as a kid. I mean, there was no shortage of, first of all, the team was good in the 70s and the 80s, but also, I mean, they had an identity, and that identity was toughness. It's interesting that you included something from, I think, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the newspaper there. And it was a sports editor, Frank Dolson, who wrote, "The NHL sank to a new low last night, and that's an extreme low indeed. Those were major hockey league players out there making a mockery of their sport." I wonder how many people in Philly agreed with that, because there must have been a lot of people in Philly, and frankly, a lot of people across Canada that were kind of entertained by it all.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Especially in the 80s, and I wasn't around for the 70s Flyers teams, but even in the 80s, they still, and even into the 90s, into the Lindros days, they still embraced that Broad Street Bullies mentality that made them such a popular team in the 70s. And so in the mid 80s, when you had guys like Dave Brown, Knockbauer, and even Ron Hextall in goal, here, a goalie that fights, for God's sakes, how often do you see that? Certainly not much anymore. I think that team, those teams in the 80s were they were happy to embrace that reputation, and it certainly made them popular with the fans. Let's just say this. I don't think in Philly they didn't lose any fans over that episode, that's for sure.
We're speaking to Kevin Kurz of the Athletic here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. You know, before we got you on the show here, Kev, we were talking about how this used to be fairly commonplace in hockey, maybe not necessarily as much in the NHL, but I've heard like stories of legend from the Western Hockey League about how the warm-up used to be this unregulated place to do what you wanted to do and say what you wanted to say, chirp guys, shoot pucks, skate into the other team's zone. And it's remarkable that now if two guys jaw a little bit at the red line, that's considered pregame antics. It's a far cry from where it used to be. Was there anything in particular with this particular brawl that the NHL said, okay, enough, we have to make real change? Because the changes that you outline in the article are very significant.
Yeah, and I think that was the last episode. I think there were a few others that year, and some guys mentioned. You know, there was one with Montreal and Quebec. I know that's pretty well known. And, you know, that was, I think, a moment where they said, okay, this stuff has to stop. And, you know, they reduced the number of players that could take warm-ups. They gave a bunch of guys fines. And, you know, they only suspended Hospodar for that for that incident, because nobody knew what went on. Just there were no refs out there. So, that was really the final bench clearing brawl, so to speak, where guys, you know, now you come off the bench, you get an automatic 10 game suspension. And you guys know a 10 game suspension is pretty significant for anybody. So I think that was the biggest rule change that came out of it. Was that any guys coming off the bench? And it wasn't just the players that would get suspended. There would be fines for the players, for the head coach, for the team involved. So that really, I think, was a turning point to start reducing fighting in the league. And as Dave Brown says, and you know, Dave Brown is still an executive in the Flyers organization, so he's someone who's still heavily involved in the game. And he says that he thought that was really one of the big factors that did help reduce fighting in the game over the coming years. And consequentially probably made it more appealing to a national audience and gets us to where we are now, where the NHL, you know, does get these multi-billion dollar TV contracts, where if that stuff was still going on, I don't think that would be the case.
Or maybe it would.
That's
the thing. Like,
maybe,
yeah, no, I mean, well, I just want people to.
I mean, here's my philosophy on it. Like, you go back to the, you know, we saw the Rangers line brawl with the Caps after the Tom Wilson episode, right? And for me, like, I don't know if you guys agree. Like, okay, we don't need that stuff to happen all the time, but if it happens every once in a while, I mean, it's great. Mm-hmm. That game was appointment viewing. Nobody got seriously hurt. Fighting is still allowed in the NHL. So sometimes I do cringe a little bit when I see some of the reactions to some of that stuff. If you're anti-fighting, say you're anti-fighting, but this is still an entertainment business. And that was a game where I thought, it was good for the league because everyone was talking about it. Everyone wanted to watch it. No one got seriously hurt and everyone moved on afterwards.
I just want people to wrap their heads around this scenario. This was not a regular season game in January. This was game six, and if Philly won, they went to the Stanley Cup final to play Wayne Gretzky's Oilers. Montreal needed to win this game. They were desperate. They were at home, and there was a bench-clearing brawl before the game, and the Habs said after the game that one of the reasons they lost the game is they were exhausted from the brawl, and there were barely any fines or suspensions from this. Like, it is, yeah, it is wild to look back on this and think that was the NHL when you look at it now. And I often, like, I always laugh, and when I see the outrage for the latest, you know, horrible act of violence in the NHL,
right,
and I'm like, I wonder what it would have been like in the 80s. If Twitter and social media was around then, people would be fainting.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
What was one of your favorite stories from the when you were talking to people? Like, what was one of the favorite stories where you're kind of like laughing?
Well, the one I really wanted to get to the bottom of was Ron Hextall getting locked in the dressing room by Mike Keenan. Cause I've heard various versions of that story where you know, Keenan locked the door and Hextall was kicking the door and left a big dent in it. And it wasn't quite as crazy as, you know, maybe legend had it, at least the versions I heard. But it is funny that Hextall went out there and Keenan went in and he did lock the door and he stood there and said, "You're not going out." and you know, that was obviously a big thing because Hextall was in the middle of his Conn Smythe
right
winning playoff run. Even though the Flyers didn't win the cup, he won the Conn Smythe trophy as the in his rookie year. And you know, it's true. If he had gone out there, he would have had a little bit of a screw loose, I think, running around. And Keenan was probably right because Hextall could have really hurt himself or gotten suspended just because of how emotional and how fiery a guy he was, certainly as a rookie.
You know, you brought up a really good point there when you were talking about the modern day line brawl, and we saw one this year between the Rangers and the Caps and its place in the game. The thing with this and with the 87 brawl between the Flyers and the Canadians is it stopped the bench clearing aspect, everyone joining in. And I think that's pretty important because you've seen other leagues implement similar rule changes. Like the NBA, you can't come off the bench at all. There was that infamous moment with the Suns a few years ago in the playoffs where guys took two steps onto the court and they were suspended for a playoff game. The NFL, you see there's coaches specifically designed on the sidelines as get back coaches. And I think a lot of it has to do, now that I'm kind of thinking it out in real time, it's probably about being able to contain what's happening on the ice. Like with the Rangers and Caps line brawl, at least you knew you could be comforted by the fact that the only participants were the guys on the ice. No one was going to come join this and make it craziness.
Well, 87 was also the same year as the World Juniors brawl,
the punch-up
right?
in Pishtani.
Like, so that would have been, you know, like 8 months earlier.
And same idea, because I read that book from Garrett Joyce, and it details very thoroughly how a brawl is one thing, but when everyone joins in and you only have three officials on the ice, you can't control it because you just don't have the manpower to take care of it.
Yeah, and that's why I think the biggest rule that came out of this was that 10-game suspension they put in for coming over the bench. And, you know, even now, it covering the Sharks last year, it was Curtis Gabriel cross-checked. I think it was Curtis McDermott in warm-ups. And the league reaction to it was, you know, he got a fine, and the team got a fine, and I think Bob Bugner got fined. It was like all for this little sort of innocuous cross-check in warm-ups. And, you know, they fought during the game, but they were jawing each other during warm-ups. And just because there was that little bit of contact, the league came down hard on everyone involved. So you see where that is now where, you know, yeah, you're right. They're fine with the stuff that goes on the ice, but yeah, the bench clearing brawls. I mean, that stuff really did have to end, I think, if the game was going to grow. And I think a lot of the guys that I talked to recognize that fact.
The article is titled, "It Was Mayhem, Inside the Flyers-Canadians 1987 Brawl That Changed the NHL Forever." Go check it out now. It's up at The Athletic. Kev, thanks a lot for doing this, man. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the next little bit. It should be a pretty interesting offseason in San Jose. Maybe we'll catch up in free agency or closer to the draft.
Okay, guys. Anytime. Be well.